Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Respiratory. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on strategies for the management of severe pediatric asthma. Four clinical specialists and the parent of a child with severe asthma share their perspectives on the importance of the multidisciplinary team for the diagnosis and management of severe pediatric asthma, with a focus on supporting patients and their families in the clinical setting and in daily life. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. This activity is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME. In this podcast, a paediatric pulmonologist is joined by a paediatric immunologist, a primary care physician, and the parent of a child with severe asthma to discuss the challenges of severe asthma diagnosis in children and the use of biomarkers to endotype type 2 asthma.
Hello, my name is Dr. Atul Gupta. I'm a paediatric pulmonologist at King's College Hospital, London. I'm joined today by Dr. Venter Pipatanikal, who is the director of the Division of Immunology Research Center at Boston Children's Hospital and professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School in Boston, and also by Dr. Siligiani, who is a professor in general practice public health at University of Crete, and Ms. Monique Cooper, the parent of a child with severe asthma from Miami, Florida. In this section, we will discuss the diagnostic process for severe asthma in children. Dr. Venter Pipatanikal, what is the diagnostic process in your center for children with severe asthma?
We get referrals from all over, and a lot of times the first thing that we do is really make sure that we have a good understanding of how the patient is doing. Sometimes they actually get referred to us and they don't actually have asthma, they have something else. And so we really take a really detailed history and physical and really review what has been going on with the patient to make sure that they do have that. And then on top of the straightforward history and physical, we also, of course, get lung function testing and just get an idea of what their FEV1 is and their FEV1 over FVC, whether they're reversible or not with their airflow obstruction. Sometimes we also, even if we're not really sure, we might get methicillin reactivity testing. And we most often, always, me being an allergist, of course, want to make sure that we're not missing any allergic triggers. So we do allergy skin testing and get IgE levels and specific IgEs to look for triggers. A large percentage of patients who have asthma in children particularly have allergic components. And those are important to at least get started. Then, of course, we usually also, if we're thinking that they really need to up their medications or think about biologics, we always also get a CBC with differential and eosinophil count. We often get an FeNO as well to see if that's elevated, and then also to look for other markers, blood eosinophils, IgE, that could help guide what we want to treat, where we want to go with it with biologics. Part of the detailed history is to really understand if there's some environmental triggers. We also always, and on top of confirming the diagnosis, which usually by the time they're referred to our center, we have the diagnosis correct, but we do monitor adherence because that's also important. Also inhaler technique, because those are some of the biggest hurdles that sometimes patients aren't taking their medications properly or they're not using them. They don't have a good understanding of how to use them. And also go through other conditions that might be making their asthma worse. Often these patients have other comorbidities. They have allergic rhinitis, they have atopic dermatitis, they have chronic rashes, they have other things that might go along with that as well. And then also get a good history of other specialists that they may have seen. This is really kind of often needs a multidisciplinary approach with different types of specialists to try to manage a disease that can often affect different areas of their lives.
Thank you. And clearly in the UK as well, we have a very similar way of using a multidisciplinary team to diagnose children with asthma. How do you diagnose severe asthma in a primary care, and how would you manage?
Obviously, it is very different from country to country, so not all the primary care facilities have spirometry, but they do have peak flow, or they have accessibility to EOS or blood tests in general, so that's good markers. But I will go one step behind, and I think the main challenge is the referrals to secondary care for the diagnosis. And this is a complicated system because there you need the collaboration between different people. And as you want more people to be involved, then the case always becomes more complicated, but at the end more productive.
How do you, as a parent, your perception was when you were interacting with different multidisciplinary team during the diagnostic process?
During the diagnostic process of my son, started at a very young age. He was pretty much diagnosed at the age of 2, but around 4 is when he started to get tested. Everything started with mostly the allergy testing to see exactly what his triggers were. And we find out that there were a lot of allergies to environment and food and animals and things of nature. So the part of educating the parent was basically this is what was needed for him and what he needed not to be around. We started that and the education of it also with the simple triggers and what were the signs that can lead into an asthma attack, which started with a cough. My son was very severe at the age of 4 due to when he was coughing ongoing. And then, as a parent, we just think of a cold, as simple as that. But once the doctor started educating us, as sometimes a cough can be more than just a cold.
I think when we educate also the parents and the children, we are not very specific in some indications. Let's say we thought that the people should know that. So for the example, the indoor smoke from cooking or from fuel, from heating the house is something that we rarely say, but this could be a really important cause. So most of the parents, I think, at least from my practice, they focus on aeroallergens, but they forget the food allergy, or they don't know the food allergy, or other factors. So, for example, e-cigarettes. I haven't seen any doctors to train for e-cigarettes as well to mention it as a factor, although we always mention the smoking. So I think this is the way that we should all work together and see what is needed for the patients and for us to improve.
And as a parent, it is good for all parents to give every detail of what their child is around and what they're eating. For an example, my son had a severe asthma attack, ended up in ICU in the summer, one summer, and that was because he was eating popcorn almost every day, and he's allergic to corn.
Dr. Vander, And from a tertiary perspective, where do you use the biomarkers? You already suggested using blood eosinophils, IgE, and FeNO at the diagnosis. Is there any other steps? Would you use the biomarkers for?
Yeah, so I think it's really important, as I mentioned, particularly in children, type 2 inflammation or allergic inflammation is super important in the pathophysiology of asthma. And that's why getting those markers can kind of guide you whether those are elevated, and that may help determine, because there are multiple therapies out there, particularly in biologics, that really target that type 2 pathway. And that's a very important endotype in severe asthma. And what happens is when you knock down that type 2 inflammation, you can help not only their asthma, but a lot of other conditions.
Thank you. And Yona, from the primary care perspective, where would you use the biomarker testing?
I think the first indication would be with blood eosinophils, because this is the one that we always have in records, let's say. And the challenge is that we don't have access to FeNO, which is widely used, and it could be really helpful. But as in some countries there is. So I know, for example, in Netherlands, it's widely spreading all over the primary care practices. But this is not the case for Greece. So access to IgE, for example, depends on where you live and where is the primary care practice. But again, I will move again one step behind this. The challenge is to suspect that the child has type 2 inflammation, and also not only to suspect, but to know that, to persuade also the parents that there are treatments to make your child feel better and be more safe.
And the final question to you, Ms. Monique Cooper. So you said your son had asthma at 2 years of age. So at what stage was the biomarker testing recommended? And how was this explained to you?
It was recommended around the age of 4. He got tested, and they explained how it was explained to me was basically they want to see what can be done to give him a better day-to-day living. Due to his condition, he was missing school, not in school due to asthma, always in the hospital, in ICU. We was trying to get it controlled. Started with allergy shots, and then that didn't work. The testing of different medications that would be on. He finally got, at the age of 10, finalized with one medication that he's able to take every 2 weeks to control his allergies and asthma, along with taking his everyday medication twice in the morning, twice at night. It was explained. The best thing I can say, though, for a doctor to help a parent with a child with severe asthma, if the parent can really get the doctor in their business as far as what the child is doing every day. My son is very active with sports, and that can be a trigger at times, during different seasons of the year, where we're, hey doctor, we're going out of town. If the area have a lot of trees or woods, we let the doctors know exactly what we're doing from a every 2 week basis. This is what we're doing. This is where we're going. That way we get medical advice on how we should proceed with his health, where we're located. So they explained everything very well to me as far as getting him into getting tested from day one up until he was 10 years old.
Thank you again for all my co-faculty members and the audience for watching. You can find out more about the management of pediatric severe asthma in other short videos in this activity.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Respiratory at www.touchrespiratory.com. You can also view a second activity in this series on severe pediatric asthma, a Touch in Conversation on Touch Respiratory.